You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
It's time for the DragonCon Report, your go-to show for both newbies and seasoned pros gearing up for the annual Downtown Atlanta Convention, with interviews, expert advice, and all the latest updates straight from the dragon's mouth and fans themselves. Stay tuned, you might just uncover something unexpected.
Howdy, and welcome to the third episode of the 2024 DragonCon Report. We are past the halfway point now. It's amazing. I can't believe, it seems like it's going to be here in no time. I'm your host, Mike Gordon, and I'm pleased to introduce you to the rest of our station crew. Jen, of course, is here with us behind the scenes and in front of the scenes.
Hello, everyone.
Can you believe it? I mean, we're already in month three.
No, I just, one of my crew messaged earlier today we are officially at the 5 month mark. Time to start getting in shape.
And yes,
of course I'm me with my cough and sinus infection.
Oh,
yeah. I'm like, I am not ready for the gym, but I will be at some point.
And Channing, of course, is here with us as well.
Hello. Howdy, sir. Hello. Happy to be back and happy third episode to you all.
Happy third episode to you. And we're past the halfway part. Did you guys do anything to mark the halfway point? No.
I thought about all the cosplays I want to do that I have not started on yet.
I was doing nebulizer treatments, so no.
We truly are the life of the party.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I think we had recorded and we were releasing this episode as a part of it was really close to the halfway point that we did that. So
yeah.
It just worked out that way.
It counts.
Sure. We got a great show for you. There's a lot of news, and so we're going to get through that as much. And we want to talk all about photo shoots, the big old group photo shoots that Dragon Con is known for. We've got Bill from the Dragon Con group photo shoots group, Facebook group, and Dana from Danique Cosplay to discuss everything you wanted to know, but were afraid to ask. So we want to hear from you guys. So you've got all those people who are watching, listening to us on YouTube, Facebook, just pepper in your questions and we'll try to get to them as much as we can in the time allotted. But let's get through some business first. We are a proud member of the ESO Network. We have a TeePublic store filled with all kinds of cool stuff, including a very cool design for the Dragon Con Report podcast. It's got a new logo. There's a link for that in this episode's show notes and at the top of the ESO Network page. So if you go to esonetwork.com, you can just click the link and it'll take you right to our TeePublic store. We also have a patron page. And once again, we thank all our supporters. We love you guys. And we love you guys that are spending money on us, but we also love the guys that, and girls that are not spending, that you don't have to spend money. Because we are also available on Facebook, on YouTube. You can share, you can like, you can subscribe. We want you to do all of that throughout all the usual places. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, YouTube, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Audible.com. We're everywhere. We've got an Instagram account. We've got a Facebook. We're on Facebook as well. And individually, we're all there too. So you can reach out to us. If you want to leave us direct feedback and comment on the show, please feel free to do so at feedback@dragonconreport.com. And again, you can also reach out to us on all the social medias that we are there on. We are an unofficial podcast of the con. We are not and never have been officially connected with Dragon Con. So for all the official news, we strongly recommend checking out the official site and all their social media outlets as well. So let's get started with some of news and notes. Like I said, there's a little bit more that happened over the last month. We have some dates, some new dates. I think the price changed. I'm pulling up my notes here. Sorry. Okay. So 5-day membership, that's August 29th through September 2nd. 5-day memberships are now $160, and that's going to be good. That rate will be good until June 14th. So, and which they'll go up probably another $20. I don't think they've said exactly yet, but, and as far as I know, it looks like 5-day memberships are the only thing on sale now. I don't think, single day admissions are on sale. Have you guys noticed any of that?
That won't be till August.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Just the 5 days.
Right. Gotcha. So, so there's,
or, you know, Eternal. Yeah. You know, that's on sale.
But, well, yes.
If you got that disposable income. Yeah. Eternal.
You know, tax refund.
Some deadlines have passed. The art show applications closed March 1st. New vendor applications also closed March 15th. Those are not available. If you missed out on that, unfortunately, but as far as we know, media applications have not yet opened. So there's some information on there that we're not really sure exactly what the dates are yet. So we'll wait until that.
No, I messaged the office to confirm they haven't opened yet. So.
All right. Good. Thank you. Thank you for that. So we've got that. Also, there are still some ways that you can participate. Parade signups are open. So that happened in the last month or so. And they're still open. Usually before they used to go pretty fast, but they are still open now. Performer application are open until March 31st. Guest applications are open until May 31st, and fan table applications are still open as well. And of course, volunteer applications are open. They're always looking for volunteers, and we definitely encourage people to participate as a volunteer if they can. They had a volunteer meeting just a couple weeks ago on March 10th at the Westin Peachtree. I believe it also was available streaming online. But there was a lot of interesting information that was discussed at that volunteer meeting. Channing, you have the highlights from that?
Yeah. Again, like you said, a lot of good information. Attendance is something that people always ask about. They're looking for a sweet spot on attendance. It won't go as high as it was in 2019, but it will be a modest increase over what it was. So expect a few more people, but I doubt that they're going to go wild with the caps. DCTV has a new director. That's Chris Hamilton. Good luck to him. DCTV is one of my favorite parts of Dragon Con when you're stuck in the room. Robotics Trek, a gentleman named John Christian is going to be directing it. For my volunteers, there's an extra plus this time. There's going to be a QR code-based fast pass for any volunteers with 5 or more years experience. That fast pass will get you into the vendor hall. It's not valid on Sunday, and it's only a one-time use. But if you've ever seen the lines of the vendor hall. Oh, was that?
Sorry, it's not valid on Saturday.
Oh, I thought that's what I said. Sorry.
No, you said Sunday.
Oh, sorry. Drink! that is correct. It is not valid on Saturday. And it is a one-time use. With as long as those lines get, that's going to be a really nice feature. There's also going to be a QR Fast Pass for comics programming that's in America's Mart so that you don't have to go through the dealer's Mart line. Hopefully that will kind of whittle down the traffic some. The big one that people have been worried about, no AI artwork of any kind can be sold. That's for the art show, artist alley, or the vendor hall. So for the folks who were worried about that, you can breathe a little bit easier now. They will be selling the branded reusable bags again this year. They'll be in the vendor hall for $5 a piece. Gaming halls will be closed from 2 a.m. to 7 a.m. But some overnight gaming will be available in the Westin, so you can still get your late night gaming fix. As you know, Dragon Con is all about charity and giving back. And this year, the charity is going to be the Arthritis Foundation. Mm-hmm. So hopefully everybody will participate and donate and help them raise a little bit of money. For my current volunteers, if you can recruit a new volunteer who lists you as a referral, you get swag and you'll be entered into a drawing for prizes. So if you have some friends who are maybe on the fence about going to Dragon Con, try and talk them into volunteering. Then, you know, get a little something for yourself on the side. And unlike years past, there will be no mandatory virtual panels this year. So we're going back to mainly in person, which I know will make some people happy.
Yeah, no mandatory. I do know a lot of tracks are going to continue doing mm-hmm. virtual panels and providing those not only during con weekend, but throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. But yeah, I guess I didn't know it was a requirement last year, to be honest with you. But
yeah, they had them do, I can't remember how many they did, but I was on one for the digital media track. And again, it's just a nice option for people who couldn't make it at the time, because there were still some issues with everything that was going on in the world. So hopefully this is a sign that things are getting back to a new normal.
Excellent. Well,
and also this past week, I know a lot of people have been waiting. Tickets to the Dragon Con Invades, the Georgia Aquarium, went on sale. And as is wont to happen from all the rabid fans out there, I first spotted it being shared by attendees before the con officially shared it. There's certain things that we all rabidly check to see if they've happened yet. There's, as always, two levels available. You can get your general admission, or you can get the VIP. I've done both. If you have the money, I highly suggest VIP. It's a lot of fun. I think it's worth the price. There's a gorgeous ballroom. The food, you get food included, and the food that I've had on the years that I've gone has been great, and never really a long line for the bar. So that is definitely something to check out, folks, especially if it's, you haven't been going to con a lot. I wouldn't necessarily suggest it for your first year attending. Get the lay of the land first. But if you haven't gone to the aquarium at night yet, and you have been attending con for a few years, I think it's definitely worth the cost.
I'm curious. So the VIP includes open bar.
And food.
And the food, right. That's important too. How is the bar situation at the aquarium event?
VIP or for the general admission?
No, just for a VIP. You're a connoisseur of mixed drinks.
Of libations?
Yeah. Yes, of libations, yes.
If the bars are big, I seem to remember there being two big squares with three bartenders inside each square, and I never had to wait more than 1 minute for a drink. And what my group did, we ended up finding who was our favorite bartender, cracking jokes with us. And so we just kept going back to him, and he's one of the good bartenders who starts, they remember what you're drinking, so you don't even have to ask. And they're just like, another one? Yep. And it's ready to go for you. So, and they have their own dedicated DJ in that room. And the ballroom also has multiple huge views into private sides of the aquariums that the general public doesn't get to see, like the beluga whales and the big tank that has the tiger shark in it. That's also part of, if for people who've gone to the aquarium, there's a section where you can walk under. You're walking through a tunnel underneath the huge aquarium, and then you spill out into a room that has seating, it's a theater, and it's a huge view into the tank. You get a private view into that as well. So it's an all around experience.
So at the risk of a really horrible dad joke, the drinks are not watered down at the aquarium.
No, nor are they salty.
We'll be here all night, folks. Tip your waiters. I will say I don't normally do a lot of off-site stuff at Dragon Con. I normally stay in the vicinity, but the aquarium is one that's kind of been on my list just to check out. It just looks beautiful. You see the photos afterwards. So that might be one I try to get to this year.
Well, plus the aquarium's opening up some new exhibits this year. They've expanded their petting area, the interactive tank area where you can pet some of the rays and some of the smaller breeds of sharks. And when that has been open in the past, the sharks feel like puppies. They feel like little pit bull puppies, the way their skin feels. Their rays feel like velvet. It's I don't know. I turn into a 12-year-old every time I go there, except I'm, you know, of legal age to be drinking. But there's, yeah, and there's a shuttle to the aquarium, so it's easy to get there. I typically don't wait for the shuttle. I just get an Uber, but, or one year I just stayed right across the street from it. So there's, it's easy to get to, even though it's offsite. Mm-hmm. Also, we had some updates this past week for the Bunny Hutch party. So the 2024 Bunny Hutch costume party and kickoff, or costume contest and kickoff party. They are once again going to be located in the Marriott Atrium Ballroom. They had first moved to that bigger room last year. They have acknowledged that there were some growing pains, including the lack of bars in the space. And they said they've already met with con staff and leadership. They have a solid approach for this year, which will include a faster load into the space, a new layout, and more bars inside. And just like last year, they are once again not going to have open judging for the costume contest due to the amount of people that, you know, turn out and want to show up to the party, but also join the contest. So anyone wanting to join the contest, you'll be submitting an online form. You'll be able to find that in the Bunny Hutch group. That'll be available starting on July 1st, and they'll be closing it in early August. That is an important change they've made for some participants who kind of wait to make their costumes in late August, because they want to get that part out of the way before con hits. They will be posting in more places about the contest, so just be sure to check out the Bunny Hutch Facebook group, Facebook event page, and they'll have more details regarding it in the coming months.
I am amazed at how large that contingent has become. That's just this huge thing. It used to be pretty small and niche. Now it's like,
yeah, it used to just be hanging out in the Pulse Loft.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, you couldn't do that now if you wanted to.
No. Well, yeah. No. Yeah.
Not a group that size.
They got people watching to see how many people get up there now. You got to wait in line just to go up the stairs to the loft.
Ugh, yes. Well, you know, I guess as things get bigger, but yeah, that's one thing I don't think I would have expected that to catch on and be huge, but it's cool. I appreciate it. It's always interesting to see what the uniform, what the costumes are going to be. Dragon Con superheroes. We've talked about the charities and superheroes a lot on this show. And it's something that it's a way that Dragon Con gives back to the community. And last month, the AJC, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, had an article that was really spotlighting one of the volunteers in particular, Carol Shipman, who has been an active member of the Dragon Con superheroes and since 2014. And so it's sort of spotlighting her, but also just the amount of work and charity that Dragon Con does for the community. Dragon Con has been giving back to the community since 2013. A percentage of the revenue from the event is always donated to charity. And, you know, last year, the charity was Cure for Childhood Cancer. And, you know, Dragon Con gave, just shy of $300,000 to that charity. So, the following spring, 2014, they launched a superheroes program, which is volunteers, staff members, people from all ages that help various nonprofits around the Atlanta area. And they've this article says that since 2014, Dragon Con Superheroes has contributed more than 4,300 hours to Atlanta area nonprofits, which is pretty amazing. Anything from packing and sorting items to the food for food banks to cleaning up state parks, giving a woman's shelter top to bottom cleaning, They've just done all sorts of things, all sorts of various things. And it's just an amazing program that makes me really proud to be part of Dragon Con in every way. And this person, Carolyn, who, like I said, was spotlighted in this article, and we'll have a link to it in our show notes so you guys can check it out. She's been there from the beginning, and she's donated a ton of time and effort to that. So that's, she's to be commended as well. So I don't, you know, not all superheroes wear capes, right?
Right. No, that's the kind of stories you need right now. You know, it's, everybody thinks about, you know, the spandex and the parties and the drinking, but there's definitely a big volunteer and community service aspect. I think that's part of the reason why Atlanta likes and appreciates Dragon Con so much.
Yeah. Yeah. It certainly has helped to, you know, integrate Dragon Con in the community even more. Whereas before it used to be like, oh, all those, you know, crazy people doing the parade. Stopping traffic downtown Atlanta for a few hours on Labor Day weekend. Now it's a business. And brings a lot of business into the city, and it also gives back. So that's amazing. So what else we got going on, Channing?
So the Buffy Horror Picture Show is going to be there this year. Assuming it hasn't changed much, it was an event that I found by accident one year, and it's a sing-along to one of the more popular Buffy the Vampire Slayer episodes, Once More with Feeling. It was a musical episode, and you watch it, and you get to sing along with it. It's a lot of fun, and even if you're like me and cannot carry a note to save your life, you get drowned out because so many people are singing. So that is a good one that I highly, highly recommend. And God bless the performing arts group. You guys are slowly taking over Dragon Con. The Trek Track is partnering with the Theater and Performing Arts Lovers group at Sarah Rose to put on a, and I want to make sure I say this right, a Subspace Rhapsody picture show at Dragon Con. They are taking virtual auditions starting, well, it looks like we've missed the virtual auditions already.
No, the ending.
Oh, no, they start. Yes. So they've started taking virtual auditions, and they will continue to take them until April 12th at 10 p.m. Eastern time. Check out the Dragon Con Theater and Performing Arts Lovers Facebook page to get more information. But yeah, like I said, the theater group, they're another one that we're going to be talking about, like we talk about the Bunny Hutch. They're just this really small group that's getting larger and doing more things year after year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, as soon as Star Trek Strange New Worlds came out with a, finally, the franchise came out with a musical episode, you just knew it was inevitable that it was going to be performed in some way at Dragon Con. So that's cool. That's all the big news and notes that we have going around the con, with, of course, the exception of guest announcements. Now, there has been some guest of honor announcements. The guest of honor this year, artist-wise, is Joe, and I hope I'm not butchering this name, Picasso?
It's John Picasso.
Oh, John. So I got the first name wrong, too.
Drink!
All right. We got to drink, everybody. All right, John Picasso.
Picasso. I think. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know.
John. I think that's how you pronounce it.
He's a three-time Hugo Award winner, one of the most acclaimed artists, and I butchered his name, and I do apologize. But he has been doing cover art for fantasy sci-fi books. He's done over 150 covers for George R. R. Martin, Michael Moorcock, Harlan Ellison, and more. So,
and he's one of our hometown guys.
Oh, your hometown.
Yeah. He's here in San Antonio.
Oh, that's cool.
He was for a long time. I'm not sure if he still is.
Oh, that's cool. I have seen some of his art displayed. And it is gorgeous and exactly what you would expect from a guest of honor at Dragon Con. The literary guest of honor this year is Nancy Kress. She is the author of 34 novels, 4 short story collections, 3 books on writing fiction, and over 100 short stories. She's won 6 Nebulas, 2 Hugos, Sturgeon, and the John W. Campbell Memorial Award. Her most recent work is Observer from last year, written with Dr. Robert Lanza. I am not as familiar with Nancy Kress, but I am sure she is worthy. I mean, look at all those accolades. So we've also got a guest of honor for this podcast, the Dragon Con Report guest of honor. It was named this month, and that is Channing Sherman is going to be a guest at Dragon Con.
It's actually pronounced Channing Kerman.
Once again, I'm drinking. Congratulations, Channing.
Thank you. It took me a couple of years, but finally got in.
We pulled no strings, absolutely none.
We apply just like everybody else.
Exactly.
Yep. All above board. Now I need to find something to become a professional about so that then I can talk about it. I kind of did everything backwards. So, yeah.
Professional kind of implies that you get paid?
Well, yeah, there's that too. Yeah. So let's say guest.
No, really. Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
It is awesome. So, well deserved. And it's not the only one, the convention that you've been named to appear at, right? Because you've got another convention, I think, that you're appearing at pretty soon, right?
Yeah, in May, I'm going to be at Blurred Fest in New Orleans. It's a smaller con, one day. I'm going to be moderating a panel on video game design. So I'm very excited about that one. I don't have time to play video games as much as I would like, but I still follow the industry. So I'm looking forward to talking to some professionals about that.
Now, as far as other guests have been announced, and they are getting into the big featured guests area, like the big names are starting to appear on the Dragon Con roster. So we're going to try something a little bit different this month. So we're not going to be reading a huge list. I'm sorry, those people who are really banking on getting a nice buzz tonight. Although I promise we still will probably mispronounce some things. Jen, I believe that we will be recording a special guest segment that will be available to people, right?
So we started it last month, where sometimes it can just take about 40 minutes as we get closer to con to go through the list, because we don't like to leave people out. So moving forward, if people want to join us over at the ESO Network Patreon and join up, we are going to have a bonus feature each month for the Dragon Con Report. Well, we will suffer and read through the whole guest list for you each month for everybody. At least all the new artists. We won't, just keep adding on, but you can find the full list over there. It should be available on our Patreon in about a week. So it's another incentive to go over there and join us under the ESO Network Patreon. But we will give you some highlights tonight and each show of some people who have been added. I know, especially the past few days, they've been adding some people folks are really excited about.
Absolutely. And probably the biggest name so far has been Giancarlo Esposito.
Correct.
So for those people who don't know, don't recognize the name, you've seen him. He's been in things for, 30 years at least, right?
Yes.
I mean, I think, he goes as far back as Electric Company.
He's also a theater actor.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Broadway. Yes. Yeah. But Moff Gideon, Gus Fring, Stan Edgar, Sidney Glass.
And he was just recently on the new Netflix series, The Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Now, if you haven't seen that, I really enjoyed him in that role. It was. I enjoyed that show so much more than I expected to.
He's got. Yes. Actually, I'm watching trailers. I'm seeing trailers for him in 2 different things right now. He's on a TV series called Parrish, where I believe he's a detective, and then he's in a movie called Annalise. I think might be wrong on
Annalise.
That. But no, yeah, right. Yeah. So he is working. He has been to Dragon Con before. It's been about 10 years though or so. So it's been quite some time. Big Bird camp counselor. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Someone just posted that he was Big Bird's camp counselor in Sesame Street. And yeah, he has done a lot of things. He's a great guy, yes. From what I understand. I have not had the pleasure to meet him yet myself, but from what I understand, he is a great guest to have as a headliner. But I get the feeling that he will not be long in being the only main headliner of Dragon Con this year.
Yeah. Well, it's also he will only be there from Saturday to Monday.
So yes. Yeah. No Friday for him.
Yeah. He's a working actor.
He's working. Well, he's got the Los Pollos Hermanos, right? Like, he's got to get time off from there for managing that store. Channing, any other guests that you wanted to mention?
Rodney Barnes. Rodney Barnes is a multi-hyphenate. He's written for TV and for comics. He's written for My Wife and Kids. He was a writer on The Boondocks. And right now he's got a new comic book series called Killadelphia. And he likes to infuse a lot of horror in his work. So I saw him once at a book festival in New Orleans. I mean, in Baton Rouge, sorry. So I'm very excited to see him. But people who know me will understand how excited I am on the inside for this one. Larry freaking Hama is going to be at Dragon Con. And he's a comic book artist, writer, and editor. And he's best known for a little something called G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, which runs through my veins more than blood. Not only that, a lot of those profile cards that you would see on the back of G.I. Joe action figures, he wrote those, and a lot of them were based off his own military service. So I am super excited to get a chance to see him and get a picture with him. But he's also written for Wolverine, Venom, The Ultimate Ninja, Elektra, and he co-created a little character called Bucky O'Hare. So he's had his fingers in a lot of pots, and I'm going to find a way. I may have to steal somebody's fast pass just to make sure I can get in to see him, and I will do it.
I'm hoping he's in the comic and pop artist alley with us, but
yeah.
he can also make a case that he should be in the Walk of Fame area because he was in a few episodes of MASH. He also did some acting, mm-hmm. Also plays a really mean guitar. So he's a great guy. I think this is his first time.
He was there a few years back. I don't remember the exact year, but yeah, he was there earlier. If you do get to meet him, maybe don't ask him about his short cameo in the Snake Eyes movie. Probably not his best work.
Anybody else you wanted to point out, Jen?
Well, he's there pretty much every year, but I'm always happy to see he's coming back. Jim Butcher, author of the Dresden Files, has once again been announced. Also wrote Codex Alera and the Cinder Spires. And he's an avid gamer, plays tabletop games and a lot of systems, loves PC and console games, and LARPs whenever he can. And I love Dresden Files. And I love watching Jim Butcher speak. He's very personable. He tells great stories. So always, always, always glad to see that there are some people who want to come back to Con every year.
Yeah, I was I was kind of confused because last month I think we announced his son was coming. I think, and I think his son has done some writing as well. But I could be wrong about that. But go ahead, sorry.
Nope, that's it.
The only other couple names I wanted to mention out because I'm always happy to share or to have a table neighbor with the artist for Tiki Zombie, which is Peter Cutler, who also will be in the comic and pop artist alley joining me. You can usually find us. Our tables are usually next to each other. So I'm glad that he will be sharing that spot once again. And a good friend and writer, Alan J. Porter, also is going to be there as well this year. So I'm glad to see he's going to be doing some panels and having a good time. So I'll be glad to see him. So now for the full list, as Jen said, we will be reading it off to the best of our abilities. and that will be available to our patrons. But if you want to get a full list, check out the Dragon Con website. And that is going to be it for news and guest announcements. So we're going to take a quick break for those people who are listening to us on audio. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come right back and talk all about photo shoots.
What if you could bring three experienced producers into your home each week to discuss your favorite movies and the people that made them? That's Tales from Hollywoodland. Your hosts, Arthur, Julian, and Steve, collectively have years of showbiz producing experience. Their weekly show is a fast-paced, fun, and very conversational experience, like spending a good time with your best movie-loving friends and family. Tales from Hollywoodland is available wherever fine podcasts are found. See you at the movies.
Everyone these days could use a little support, and your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With four tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
And we're back, and we're here to talk all about photo shoots. We've got with us Dana, I believe, is still here. She's in the green room. Come on out, Dana. And Bill is here as well.
Howdy, howdy, everybody.
Howdy, folks. We're glad to you guys to join us. I've got all sorts of questions for you, but I'd like to start, and Dana will start with you. Tell us about your first Dragon Con experience. When did you first discover Dragon Con?
I actually first discovered Dragon Con. I also am staff and volunteer with other conventions, our sister convention, MomoCon, Anime Week in Atlanta, et cetera. And one of the staff members at MomoCon was like, hey, we would love to have you at Dragon Con. And I'm like, oh, okay. And they brought me in as a volunteer. And I've been working with Dragon Con since, you know, behind the camera, capturing for different tracks, been on panels, help some of the tracks with some of their panels and coordinating and doing some behind the scenes administrative work and stuff. But yeah, my very first convention was in 2017. It was my very first Dragon Con.
And your very first convention was Dragon Con?
No, it was my very first Dragon Con, but my first convention was Wizard World when it came to Atlanta.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. At the Cobb Galleria.
This one was at the Georgia World Congress Center that year in 2015.
Okay.
And I initially went as a guest, but they were shorthanded on photographers. And some of the guests told them about some of the pictures I was taking. So they asked me to be a photographer, and that started my bug of photographing conventions.
Now, when you experienced Dragon Con, since you had experience with other conventions, did you notice it, or did anything seem different, special about Dragon Con, unique?
Yes, different. How massive Dragon Con is compared to the other ones. No one prepared me for that. I did not know. I didn't know the distance, how many buildings y'all use. I was just like, you want me to go where to take pictures? Okay, where's the Hilton? Well, I'm at the Hyatt. Where am I going? And that was, especially for a first timer, I will definitely tell people, you know, prepare yourself, pace yourself, especially on the Fridays and Saturdays. You're going to be dealing with so many people that you may get overwhelmed. You may get just like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm looking at this map and U-turned five different times. Where is this place? so it's a lot of looking around. I love the fact we have a very interactive app. Not all conventions have apps. So it's very helpful, especially for first timers, to download that, because you can see the information on the tracks, the panels, the times, photo shoots are put in there too, so you know what time and where it's at. You can also find maps of the different buildings and locations so you can figure out where to go. Set reminders to let you know 30 minutes before. I recommend, especially popular panels, an hour or two before, because people start lighting up at crazy times for some of these panels. It's like it's 9 until 3 and y'all lighting up at 10 a.m. I'm like, y'all got some dedication. Y'all dedicated. Not me. But the thing I really love about Dragon Con is just how folks, once they meet you, I had, especially me being a photographer, I will be going up this escalator. So I was like, who? And then they come up to me and they're like, oh, you took my picture last year. And I'm like, who are you? Your dress is Deadpool. I don't know who you are. But I just love how people make sure, you know, they say hi, they try to find you and things like that. So I just love the energy of the convention. It's, I tell people, Dragon Con is like college out of conventions. You know, you have MomoCon, which is kind of like middle school, you know, you're learning stuff. It's very easy to have. Dragon Con, you got the drinking, you got the all-nighters, you got the parties, you got the blood drives, everything going on in one air, in this one convention, similar to like a college campus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Bill, let's hand it over to you. What, tell us about your first introduction to Dragon Con.
Oh man, I have to follow Dana, man. Oh, that was a great run up to the awesomeness, Dragon. Actually, you know, I'd started out as an adult because I'd gone to conventions back in the day, but it was a long time ago. I think dinosaurs were still wandering around. And I started out with WonderCon when it was still in San Francisco a couple of times, but then in 2010 was my first Dragon Con. And I'm like, oh, this is epic. And just, it was just the best kind of come together of lots of conventions talk about, hey, we're a convention by fans, for fans, etc. But that's, Dragon Con is really who all of them wishes they could grow up to be for that kind of an outset. And it was funny, it wasn't until the next year that I actually did San Diego for the first time. And actually, it was kind of a letdown because it was like, it's a very different beast, but just straight up, I was hoping for more like the vibe of Dragon Con. And it's, you know, it's awesome its own way, but it's very different critter. So had it just came in originally was doing Dragon Con as part of press and covering for a number of outlets, shooting for IGN and UGO and a few others at the time. And a few years into it, I shifted over to being part of their photography and media team. And along the way, I just kind of got into the groups that were responsible for some of the super groups like Alan Wolf with regards to the superhero costuming forum and running the giant DC and Marvel groups and some of the others. And over the years, it's wound up just kind of coming into my lap. And so I get to wrangle and get together all the submissions and stuff and make sure that people have places and times for when they do their big group shoots.
Yeah, when Bill says he's a cat herder, he means it. there's a lot of moving parts there.
I can imagine. Yeah, so let's talk about, yeah, because the group photo shoots, I'm not sure when they started. I mean, when I was going in 94, cosplay and costumes were already prominent at Dragon Con. I think they always have been. But I think it was just one of those, you know, grassroots things that little by little, the group photo shoots, you know, they started off really small with a few people, a few friends, but then they became like bigger and bigger. When now they're huge. Now they're, I think there's a group photo shoot, I think, going on almost all the time, at least during the daylight hours. Is that, am I wrong?
No, that's pretty well spot on. I mean, even right now for this year's Dragon Con, I have actually exactly 100 group shoots on the submissions list right now. And so goodness, it'll go to about 140.
And they grow from there.
They do. So, and some, you know, some of them are small. Some of them are like a dozen people or so. But then we've got, yeah, really right now, the biggest super groups that we have right now is Star Wars, Marvel, And then as of last year, Barbie. It's all the pink fabric.
Awesome. And the Ropers. Yeah. The Ropers ended up surprising everybody.
Was just, yeah. I got to admit, last year when I saw that submission come in, I'm like, Roper? Like Mrs. Yeah. Roper? Who the hell's going to do that?
Yeah, I'm part of it. It's so fun.
No, I put it on the schedule and I'm like, okay, fine. And then when I saw them coming up the escalator over in the Hyatt, and they just kept coming, and all of them with their big old wigs and moo-moos and having the best times. I think that's what I love seeing with this. It's just like the Barbie one. Had no idea how big it was going to be, but then all of a sudden, here's everybody just having a great time, and that's what makes it worth it.
Yeah, it was a sea of pink behind the Hilton. I was out there for a little bit, but even I couldn't move around. The Barbie cosplays took over.
Well, and for the Barbie group, where everybody saying, you know, picking up for the movie and saying hi Barbie to each other, that's why us and the Ropers started saying hi Helen. That's awesome. Because we were picking it up for them. We're like, well, we want to feel included. we have Sarah in the comments is asking, how do they submit for a group photo shoot?
There's a Facebook group called Dragon Con Group Cosplay Photo Shoots. If you head over to there, each year the pinned post at the top of that group and also in the about of that group has a link for the submission form. And you can just head right over there, submit it out. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out. We're happy to help.
It's just that simple.
Yeah, it is. And I always welcome, you know, anybody to really come along and play, because it's, you know, sometimes it'd be a small group, but why not give them a place to play? And it's always funny because the way things come around, I mean, like the Wheel of Times folks, they had a handful of loyal cosplayers each year, and then the series comes along and now poof, and it gets, you know, significantly bigger. You know, Game of Thrones, Once Upon a Time, we would have a gathering of like 10 people at a time, and then it exploded.
Has there been any group that you just were, you know, besides the Ropers? I think that might have actually be the one, but was there any other group that like just you were amazed at how massive it ended up being?
Dana, what do you think?
Along with the two you mentioned, I also have to give, this is giving kudos to Channing, is the Black Geeks of Dragon Cons photo shoot.
That's
growing every year. I've been lucky as being one of the main photographers for that shoot. And just the gathering of people, they've had BET come and cover the photo shoot. We've had some of the celebrities join the photo shoot. Last year, because of the whole situation with Alabama, we had some guests for that interacted that whole situation of the Alabama tobacco at the cruise ship. But it's just everybody ties into it, from babies to adults, and then just seeing the array of cosplays. But then I love it when the guys from the group, they start chanting like from Black Panther, they, you know, and everything. It's just uniformed. Most of these people don't even know each other. But as soon as someone starts chanting, it's just like you got the whole group chanting together. And it just gives a different feel for the photo shoot, just seeing how everybody just connects with that particular shoot. But the Barbie one, I loved seeing that. And even after the shoot, you still have the Barbies going around saying, hi, Barbie. Hi, Barbie.
So as far as Barbenheimer goes, the mashup of the two big movies last year, was there even an Oppenheimer shoot, group shoot?
There was not an Oppenheimer shoot. However, there was an amazing Barbie. I think she was in a ball gown. I can't actually remember, but her wig was styled as a nuclear explosion. So it was straight up and out with a mushroom cloud and everything. And that was pretty epic. So you did have some crossover Barbies, but it was more from the Barbie side of the universe rather than Oppenheimer side.
Right. There was somebody in a pink Oppenheimer style suit.
Yes.
It was all. Yeah. So, yeah, they had a couple of good mashups there.
Yeah, and I got to agree with Dana actually shutting in on her. The first time I ever saw the Black Geeks gathering back on the back steps, I wander out there, and so many groups think they've got their shit together, but no, they got the map where they're going to be shooting things, their schedule, they've got handlers, they've got, it's probably the smoothest run large group that I'm, and again, I've been doing like the Star Wars and the Marvel ones for years, and we're mostly just trying to keep the wheels on. They've got their stuff down, and it's just the joy that comes together when they're out there doing their shoot is just the best thing. So if anybody hasn't seen it, go out, watch it, get some pictures. It's really one of the best things.
Yeah, well, I've been a part. Thank you, and don't jinx us. But
yes. Knock on wood.
I've been a part of both the Marvel and the DC Universe shoots, and even just being somebody as part of it. I can't even imagine trying to take pictures of it where I have no idea what's going on, like being arranged in that large of a group of people until we break off into the smaller groups. And then I'm like, okay, now I know what I'm doing. There's only 12 of us in this photo, not 500.
Yes.
So
yes, because they have amazing working with Dr. Law's Photo Lab. They always help with wrangling with LaToya and that group. And they have the bullhorns. They literally making sure, all right, getting everybody switched out to do the different shoots. It's they keep that clockwork going so smoothly. It's definitely they could teach a class.
And probably should.
So you said that you've already got 100 already photo shoots that are to be added to this year's schedule. How many photo shoots, group photo shoots, are done usually at a weekend?
Right before pandemic, there was 168 or so in 2019. Mm-hmm. And then it's dropped off and it's coming back up. But I probably would say most years, 130, 140, plus or minus. And that doesn't include just people that are just doing like pub crawls.
Yes.
Gotcha. Now they all don't take place in the same location, because there's no way you could usher in 100 of those like throughout the whole weekend. So you've got different places that are marked off for group photo shoots. Is that correct?
Like the main ones that are always famous is the Hilton Steps. There's 5 different spots back there that we can use for different locations, different sizes of staircases, things like that. And those are relatively the ubiquitous spots. And then there's a few other locations, the 5th floor of the Hilton, the 10th floor of the Marriott, the fountain at the Marriott's another one. The Sheraton Pool is a location. And then the Hardy Ivy Park is another one that's been common over the last number of years. Dana, do you have some other spots that you like as well?
Those are mainly the main ones. Then we have I like to call them the unofficial photo shoots that isn't booked through Bill, that will plan on some of the stairs and some of the areas around the con to take pictures. But those are usually the main ones. Most people are most familiar with the shoots that are at the Hyatt, because that's where the majority of a lot of them are done, especially the really big, massive ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if you are... if you're out there and you're saying, hey, I really have a good, false face outfit that I want to wear, Batman 60s show, and I'd like to participate in a group show, see if there's a group for me that I can join. What should you do?
You want to take the stage, or shall I?
I'll just going to echo what Bill said earlier. Definitely join the Facebook group. Bill does an amazing group with this group, having this spreadsheet that will break down all the shoots, what days, times, who's coordinating. And then this also helps for anyone who is planning a photo shoot and need a photographer. You can also go to that shoot and say, okay, who's available to photograph Sunday at 2 p.m. for, the Smurfs photo shoot. Then the photographer.
Okay, I want to see that now. I want to see a bunch of people covered in blue body paint in the Atlanta heat. There you go.
It will stay on for about 15 minutes.
It'll be one of the two. It's either going to be Smurfs or Na'vi. One of the two.
Thank you. Thank you. Right there. I think that it's like we were saying, that is your best resource, because not only knowing if there's another photo shoot that's already been planned for an item you have, that way you already know one's been already put out there and planned. Or you may look at the list and say, oh, well, no one scheduled anything for Thundercats, so let's go ahead and book a photo shoot, a Thundercat photo shoot. So it's great. And then you have the resource with Bill and his and everybody else that has been involved in these photo shoots to answer any questions.
Awesome. Now, how many photo shoots do you each yourselves take part in as photographers, would you say? Like, do you try to give yourself time to enjoy the con, or are you just out there shooting pictures constantly?
When I first started Dragon Con, it was nothing but photo shoots and photographing panels and stuff. I really didn't get to enjoy the con for the first couple years. Then after that, I was like, love you all. I need to like figure this out. I will do a couple of shoots. I'll do, you know, I took myself from being like an official photographer for some of the tracks, because they literally from sunup to sundown, I was just taking pictures with nothing in between. So I was like, I have to, because outside of that, I also, you know, I'm a executive producer and a line producer for two shows. So they're also covering, and I need to be there to help with the interviews and covering that. So I'm like, I can't be just taking pictures. So I usually limit myself for photo shoots, a handful, but then leave time for everything else. And it's funny, because last year was the first year I got to actually enjoy Dragon Con, go and actually do stuff at the con. And I was just like, oh, this is nice.
Bill, do you get a chance to enjoy the show, or do you just, is it all work?
Yeah, it's one of those sorts of things people always go, did you have a fun time? And generally my answer is no, God, no. just because it's a lot of work, but it can be also amazingly rewarding. Like, you watch everyone having fun, or you see people, you know, making new friends in different cosplays that they come together, or people come by and say, hey, thanks for coordinating. That is wonderfully fulfilling. But when you're in the midst of the heat and the humidity and everything else going on around there, it's more kind of a grind all the way through. But for me personally, I do a handful of shoots per year, and then I'll do drop-ins. But unfortunately, since I am part of the photography team, the staff part of Dragon Con, I can't really pre-commit, because I might have assignments elsewhere. And so they're really good about making sure that I can get back and, you know, hit my big ones. But if I told them, all right, I've got 10 shoots a day, they'd be like, yeah, no, we need you other places too. Like, you know, back of house and shooting some of the concerts and things like that. And it's one thing people often forget, for all the photographers that are running around Dragon Con, especially the popular ones that are under high demand. So they've been there all day long, grinding all day till 1 or 2 in the morning, taking pictures. Then they've got to go back and download their pictures and do a first pass and reprep, plug everything out in all of this before they can pass out. And then it's back up to it, you know, the next day. So for me, I think the ones that I think are the most fun really is probably the Marvel, we'll see how Barbies goes again. That was pretty much a blast and a hoot last time. I'll tend to do Vikings, but the Battlestar Galactica group, they're ones that I'm attached to the fandoms from. And other times it's just, hey, the people that go out are just like, are just so much fun. Or I really love the costumes, like the Warhammer Gathering, just they're epic to see their costumes. Some of the video game ones are also cool. One thing that Dana brought up is a good topic, is if someone has either never, even if they've never been to Dragon Con, or if they have, but they've never done, you know, put on or hosted a photo shoot before, if they have an idea for a new one, come on out there. We're happy to find a photographer that we can attach to you, someone that's wrangled before, and get people talking. So if people have an idea, don't let not having done it before, you know, block them from doing it. We all had, you know, we all had a first time where we didn't know anything what we were doing. We were just standing there going, oh, yeah, everybody up there, get closer together. now it's come along. And so we're trying to pay it forward to the next set of folks. Actually, I will take a moment to give a huge shout out to the Grace Adams Moss, Mama Grace. If people knew her from back before, she was a long time Dragon Con house photographer. And she was really one of the first photographers I met, and she passed away earlier this week. And so there's been a lot of outpouring of support to her family and such. But really what it goes back to is there was once upon a time that all of us getting out there were a photographer at Dragon Con, and there's the line of folks, and someone looked over and said, hey, get on up here and take a picture with the rest of us. And we need to do that for the next generation, keep going. Because you'll see a lot of times where I'll make sure, you know, you got all the photographers with the big fancy cameras out front. To me, I don't care about them that much. They'll get their pictures. They're fine. But if I see someone that's, they got their iPhone, or it's clearly a family that's taking a picture of their kids, I want to make sure that they get pictures, because if they catch the bug, they'll come back again next year and they'll keep on going. Photographers, like, you know, like I need another picture of a stormtrooper. You know, I've got plenty.
So Bill, I like to say you are simultaneously the easiest and hardest person to see at Dragon Con. You're the easiest because you're everywhere. You are everywhere. You're the hardest because you aren't anywhere for a long amount of time. Right. You mentioned how you come now with Black Geeks shoot, and thank you again for the kind words. But
of course,
I swear sometimes you're like a ghost. You show up, I'm like, oh, there's Bill. Let me go say hey, and then I blink. And you're gone. But I was hoping you could give me a history lesson. What
about secret passages? I really do think he's got secret passages.
Yeah, he's got some underground tunnels under the Hilton that he doesn't want to share.
Oh, no, I'll share. I'll show you how to get there. Actually, it's the one between, it's the secret routes between the Marriott and the Hyatt that are my personal favorites.
Okay. We gotta get a map from him later.
We'll talk.
The photo shoots, they're unofficial yet official at Dragon Con, because I think it's only been the last couple of years they've even included them in the app. How did they end up making that jump from where it was just kind of word of mouth in your page to where Dragon Con is saying, hey, here's a list of them? Because they don't sponsor or host any themselves, right?
That is correct. And there's been a certain sensitivity around them. And so what I will say is Regina and Rachel and other folks of Dragon Con leadership have been wonderfully supportive. I mean, they're the reasons that we've got the big lights out back for when it gets after dark and things like that. They've been kind enough to let us make requests of those things. And then really 3 shows ago was the first of that they were going to do it, put us into the app, but then the okay came in relatively late. And so we just skipped on that year, but now we've become a regular part, and they're letting me, you know, format up the file and send it off to them so they can import the schedule. Part of it is, for example, we're using that they have to be cautious about not making it too official is technically speaking, we'll give a fire marshal gray hairs in your time because we're using exit steps and stuff like that. And if the event were to really lean too hard in that going, hey, we're saying that we're going to host events on steps that are actually a fire exit, that becomes a problem. And so they're kind of having to walk this line about going, hey, how can we make discovery without this being so official that we paint ourselves into a corner with it? Because there's right now, we don't have any larger venues that we can use in those back steps, especially the steps behind the, with the redesign of some of how the backside of the Hilton has been used the last couple of years, is the grand ballroom's exit is those back staircases where the big shoot is. And that's because of how they're using the center space and what they're using across the hall in that other ballroom. And with that, we need to be flexible with them. And I think part of what made the transition is them working up trust that we're going to do our best to work with security, line control, the room folks, everybody else. And really, Black Geeks, the Marvels, et cetera, when the first thing that we do is go in and talk to the the room leads, the volunteer room leads in the Grand Ballroom, going, hey, do you have anybody leaving? Are you going to be exiting out that side in the next hour? And if they say yes, we make sure that we're ready to move. And the positive feedback we've had from that they've given back to leadership, we've stayed in communication and taking care of things when there's a problem from our side. I think that's built up trust that they're willing to be patient with us, but it's also sometimes why we put in some of the persnickety little rules and whatnot that we do, because we're trying to make sure that we can keep on doing this and don't have to go back under the covers again.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. And that I didn't even think about the fire marshal thing. So yeah, that makes a perfect sense. Mm-hmm. There are if now is there a sort of a registration thing that has to happen? Like, if you do you get a sense on how big the group's going to be, like as far as people signing up or anything like that? Like, if you did want to participate as a costumer or as a photographer, is, you know, do you go to the site and to your group and sign up for the individual ones, or is it just something we see how many people show up?
Dana, do you want to take, or could I, like, listen, I want to make sure that I don't keep on talking. Dana, anything you want to chime in on?
Oh, you're fine. A lot of these groups, they'll go ahead and create like Facebook events, and people will put it on their calendars and things like that. That way they can also track how many people are planning to come, how many people are tentative. Also keeping people updated on where to find the photos, stuff like that. So a lot of the groups use that to kind of help them get a rough idea. And then there's some, they put it out there and see who shows up. So
yeah, a lot of times it's a learning experience.
For the one-off shot, that's typically what they do.
And it is. Yeah. Sometimes you think it's going to be a huge group and 10 people show up. Other times you're like, oh my God, this is going to be niche. And Barbie happens. And so it's like, sure, I mean, we thought it'd be popular. We thought there'd be like 100, 200 people for Barbie, not every scrap of pink fabric on the Eastern Seaboard. And they all come out. So we just make the best of what we do. For example, actually, the Barbie is a good example. It actually started on the other steps, on the A side steps in the morning. And it was clear it was going to be so big, we weren't going to be able to handle it. So we pulled it over to the other side because it happened to be open at that time of the morning. If that had happened like at 3 PM, we would have just had to deal with it and suck it up because the other steps would have been occupied. But we lucked out that time. And so, but other ways we do it, what Dana said, each event does have a public Facebook group. One of the reasons that we require that is so that when the pictures get posted, people can go back and find them somewhere. So they know where to go look for the pictures when those finally go up. And then the other thing about it is for those events, if people smart going, we can get kind of a sense about how many people are probably planning to attend. You know, are there 400 people marked going? Because it's always going to be, you know, depending on the group, more or less in sizings, but it'll give us a general size. Other times it's just we ballpark it and go for the best.
And it's important to remember some groups have rules, some don't. Like our Black Geeks group, we're kind of open. There are some photo shoots, they may not allow duplicate characters. So, you know, we're only having one Batman. Some they want you to register beforehand so they'll know what cosplayers are coming. So that's the other reason those public pages really come in handy. Goes back to the cat herding again.
Yeah. I generally, like, I will, if I have multiple groups all submitting at once and they're all, like, one of them is more selective in nature than the others, I'll give the higher preference to the one who's having open access. And whoever wants to play, as long as the costume is correct, go, because I want to include as many people as possible. That doesn't mean I won't let the other people have a shoot, but it might not be the same prime time. They all ask for Saturday at 1:00. It's like the one with the biggest crowd that's going to let everyone come in and play, I'll put them on, and then we'll negotiate and find a time that will work for the others. Actually, there was just a question that came up, I noticed, on the feed, that was about how long before people should be hearing back about their shoots. Actually, you know what? I'll try and get those things squared away. Everything has been submitted thus far by the middle of April, and get the initial schedule out so people can start working it over. So I'll get to that pretty quick. Usually once I get the first batch in, the rest of them I just update every couple of weeks. I'll throw in the ones that are coming up next.
And we've also got somebody asking, you know, whether photo shoots allow mashups. And yeah, it depends on the shoot, especially if a group has created a Facebook page, they're typically going to lay out what's allowed and what's not. Some of the ones I've been to, you know, they'll do whatever the theme is. Okay, for the first 5 minutes, we're going to do everybody that's in the accurate costumes. And if there's more than one in the same costume, they'll rotate them out so everybody gets in the picture. Then, you know, they'll let in mashups. And sometimes it's just like, hey, you're somewhat related to this, so get in there with the group. It's really a matter of find the photo shoot you're interested in, look at the details on the event page, ask questions if it's not spelled out.
That's always the thing, is just ask questions. They're happy to answer. You know, they don't want to have people show up and have a bad experience either. So that's always it's there to their best interest to respond to when people ask questions too.
Right. And Dustin Grau also posted, even if you aren't a photographer, you can still show up and help run a shoot. Absolutely. Basically, if you know a fandom and you can group characters together and yell loudly, that's 90% of the organizational work needed.
Yeah. We've had people be runners. I mean, Bill showed up one time, I think when it rained, and Bill was like, hey, how can I help? We've had people do runners. We've had people shout. Every now and then we get handouts that we can give to people. We've had people help us hand out buttons and things. Yeah. You don't need a camera to help us out. You just have to have a desire to help.
Well, it's also a great way to learn how groups are wrangled. Also, if you want to, you know, if you're a cosplayer, come on out and offer to help as well. And that way you can kind of see what those cosplayers go through and what the experience is. So if you're ever daunted with it, come on out. You can either just watch from the sidelines, or they'll throw you in and say, here, as far as, you know, make sure that everyone's coming on, help bring the people back that have wandered off and are hanging out underneath the steps now, that kind of thing, making sure that stuff continues to flow. So people, photographers and shoot wranglers are always happy to have extra hands to help pull bodies around.
Well, it's amazing work that you guys are doing, especially, you know, I mean, it's unofficial and it's volunteer, and you guys are doing it. And I know that it, you know, from people who don't participate in it, it's a huge part of the Dragon Con experience, because, you know, we all see those pictures and we all know that's Dragon Con. We can connect with it right away. As we get ready to sort of tail off this conversation, I kind of want to ask each one of you, what is maybe one of your favorite moments at a photo shoot that you've ever experienced at Dragon Con? Bill, we'll start with you on this one.
I think for me, it's been the times where, again, one of the things that I like about Dragon Con in general is the talent celebrities are largely off leash. It's not like a junket event like New York or San Diego, where their publicists are there and everything else. We've had so many people pop out back to be part of it. We had 7 people out of the Galactica cast once show up for one of the shoots. There's people the Star Wars side. You know, freaking Norman Reedus keeps jumping in front of. We were doing a shoot once, and all of a sudden I turn around and there's this dude right up in front of one of the cosplayers' faces taking a picture. I'm like, dude, who the hell is that? It's Norman Reedus. Cigarette sticking out the side of his mouth. He's happily taking pictures. I'm like, get out of there. But some of the times have been fun is we had James Gunn joined one of the Marvel shoots a number of years ago, right around when Guardians of the Galaxy first came out. I love the shoots, but when talent comes out to be part of it and you can see them having fun with all of them surrounded, let's think about the comics artist George Perez every year would come out there to be out there and just be part of it. And we had Stan Lee out there before, but they would come out and they would just love being part of that whole experience. And so for me, that's been my highlights really.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Dana, what about you?
I definitely echo that, because I know Black Geeks Dragon Con shoot, they had cast from Black Lightning. You also, like you said, with the guests, even celebrities that are not guests that are just attending. Yeah. I remember like T-Pain, he was dressed as a character from Tekken. People didn't know he was part of the Tekken photo shoot, and he was going around taking pictures. did not know was T-Pain right there. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that we got guests that celebrities that are just into this as much as we are and just in cosplay enjoying it. But I love the, you know, the energy these shoots bring, because so many people are gathered together for something they all like together. And everybody's complimenting each other's costumes. Even if they're not up there taking pictures, they're taking pictures of each other with their phones. And, oh, let me connect with you on Instagram. And you start building this, I like to call your con friends that eventually become your con family. And the shoots really are an avenue to do that, because DragCon is so massive that you may not see people that, you know, there's so many people that tell me, Dana, I was looking for you. I'm like, where? You could typically find me between the Hyatt and the Marriott, one of the two. But it's hard to find folks. But if you go to the photo shoots, you know they're scheduled. You know where to find them outside of panels, if I'm speaking on a panel. But it's the easiest way to find people, but also connect with folks, because you're enjoying it. You're all out in the heat. Bless anybody that does head to toe covered with no insulation, like the Star Wars characters and the furries, and bless you in Dragon Con heat. I can't do it. but you really see that passion for people. And I love seeing the multi-generations, seeing the babies coming out dressed up as, you know, Pokemon, dogs, you know, service animals also cosplaying with their owners and stuff. It gives you a different look and feel of the convention, especially if you're a first timer, to see all that energy at the shoots to give you a good feel of the con.
Actually, on that, I remember last year, the year before with the Viking shoot, there was a cosplayer that was there that they had dragged their dad out to Dragon Con for the first time, and they had made an amazing outfit for it, by the way, but dressed him up like Odin, and he looked just like him. He was so good, and all the Vikings just glommed, like they were just all the joy, all the love on this guy. He's like, oh, this is great, and the kids are letting me play along, and that just... Yeah, we totally got a new convert right there. Channing, did you have a question for Dana that you wanted to hit in?
Honestly, considering what you guys have just said, I don't even know if it's worth bringing up. But Dana, I have to pick on you because you've got some unique experience, because you've done these photo shoots on both sides of the camera.
Yes.
You just a few years ago started doing cosplay. So... seeing it from the other side, has that kind of impacted how you photograph them, or vice versa, as how you photograph them kind of impact how you plan your cosplays?
It hasn't impacted my photos, because I've always been very conscious being a staff member, running around the con. It's like, I try to be conscious of that kind of thing. But now that I started cosplaying, I still have much respect to cosplayers, because I can't do some of those costumes y'all have. It's too hot. It's too hot. I still remember doing my first costume, and I needed to have six people helping me get contacts in, trying to get a wig on and all these elements. And I was just like, I don't know if this is for me. I don't know. But you find a great joy when you see people enthusiastic about it, especially kids coming up to you. That was got me hooked in, is seeing the kids coming up to you and want to take pictures with you. And it's like, yeah, I could do this. But yeah, I can't. I have a lot of respect for cosplayers. I had it before. It's even more since now I'm doing it, because some of these costumes are hot and there's no way. So I try to be respectful on that part of, like, if we're out in the heat, I'm snapping your picture, or I'm finding some shade or something to get you as much out of the heat as possible. Yeah. And I can take the pictures, because, yeah, I know you're hot and you're sweating and you probably got a pool in that suit.
I'm sure they appreciate it.
Well, for all the heat and the sweating that the cosplayers are doing, I know the photographers are doing it as well. So, and the organizers, everybody's doing it, and everybody's doing it because it's something that they love. So, so thank you guys for everything that you do regarding the photo shoots, because it is, like I said, I think it's one of the things that makes Dragon Con. And I appreciate you guys, and I appreciate you guys' time for joining us tonight. We really do. Now, if people have further questions, they should go to the group page, correct?
Yes.
And we will post that. We will post that, of course, on the video, and you can see it on the scrolling by. And we will post a link in our show notes for those people who are listening to us as well. So. But I think it's time for us to get on out of here and draw a close to this episode of the 2024 Dragon Con Report. A big shout out to Bill and Dana for joining us. Dana, we'll start with you. Is there anything other than the Dragon Con group shoot that you would like to promote?
Outside of that, I am, as I mentioned earlier, I'm a line producer for the BOP, the show for Karen Ashley, the Yellow Power Ranger. So she likes to be at different cons. She also do panels with her fellow panelists. So we're hoping she gets the confirmation for Dragon Con so y'all can meet her and her co-host for the show. I'm always there because it's, you know, line producer. And then I'm also the executive producer and co-host for the Moana Nui podcast. We're also there covering interviewing the guests, interviewing cosplayers. So if any of us come up to you and ask to interview you, please, we'd love to interview because we like to give viewers insight of, you know, how it is to be at Dragon Con, what things you can recommend at being a first-time cosplayer or first-time at Dragon Con. So people who are interested in coming to Dragon Con can get those tidbits to get from I'm not too sure to, all right, I think I can do it. So shows like this and ours definitely need your insight. So a lot of people who are unsure or kind of scared because they kind of feel the odd man out where they live, that this can be something that can welcome them in because of something you say and help them feel welcome.
Awesome. Great stuff. Awesome. We will have links to that in our show notes. Bill, what about you? Is there anything that you'd like to promote outside of the group page?
I think right now I'm just kind of plugging through the year. We got WonderCon this week, then we got San Diego coming up in a couple of months and a few others. But then I can always look forward towards the tail end of the year. I get to go to Dragon Con. So that's what really keeps me forward focusing and looking forward to seeing y'all.
Yeah. Awesome. And hopefully we'll get to see you in person. So that'll be great. Yeah, we're going to draw this close to this episode. Big shout out to everybody who watched and listened, and your questions were great. Thank you for your interactions with us on this episode. And a big shout out to our station crew. Channing, congratulations, man. You, like I said, it's well-deserved. I'm glad to see you on the guest list.
Thank you. I will try not to embarrass you guys while I'm up there. I can't make any promises, but I'm
you know, I mean, you know, with that sort of it, some of it goes with the territory, right? I don't make those promises when I'm. But and where can people find you outside of this show?
So if you want to find me personally, I'm at Channing Sherman on all the big platforms. I soft launched my podcast, the Smarty Art Brother podcast. You can find it on Spotify, iTunes, all those good things. We actually just recorded an episode with the Royalty Cosplay, who's a Dragon Con regular. So that one will be coming out soon. My group, Black Geeks of Dragon Con, it's not a protest, it's a party. You can look for us on Facebook. And I'll be appearing at Blurred Fest on May 18th. So if you're in the New Orleans area, swing by, check me out, buy me a drink.
Awesome. And Jen, thank you for all the work that you do, especially behind the scenes.
Yeah, hopefully people heard less mouse clicks out of me this episode. So not 1,000 of them like last month.
And where can people find you online?
I am on Instagram at lilbitodd. That's LILBITODD. My profile is marked private, but that's just to keep bots out. Just send a follow request. As long as I can make sure you're a real person, you'll get in there. I'm also on Facebook. I am the creator and one of the admins of the DragonCon Parties, Meetups, and More group. We also have a Discord group for that as well. And I'm who you get when you email the DragonCon report at gmail.com.
Yes, awesome. As far as the DragonCon Parties, Meetups, and More, is that starting to get more and more stuff happening there?
We have some posts going on. You know, when me or the guys see somebody make a post about events or parties, whether they're already set or in the planning stages, we're sharing it to the feed there. We will not start doing the calendar until probably the end of July. Because the less editing of a document I have to do, the better.
Absolutely. I get that. And thanks again. We try to cover all we can with these episodes that we do, but to keep up with the latest news, please check out the official DragonCon website, their social media outlets. They're on Facebook, they're on Instagram. All the fan tracks are active on Facebook as well, so you can participate that way. We are a proud member of the ESO Network. We have a TeePublic store filled with all kinds of cool stuff, including a very cool logo with the DragonCon Report podcast on it. That comes in, you can get it as a t-shirt, mouse pad, you know, what have you. There's a link for that in this episode's show notes and at the top of the ESO Network page. We also have a Patreon page. Thank you once again, patrons, for all your support. We do love you and appreciate you. Whether you're watching or listening to us, please help support us with a like and a share. If you'd like to leave us direct feedback, comment on the show, please feel free to do so. feedback@dragonconreport.com. You can reach out to us also. We're also on Facebook and Instagram as well. Thanks everyone for joining us. I'm your host, Mike Gordon. And as always, it's been my pleasure. Take care, stay safe, and we look forward to seeing you all at the con.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the DragonCon Report. Whether you're a longtime fan or joined us for the first time, we hope you've gained some valuable insights and tips to make your DragonCon experience unforgettable. Don't forget to stay connected for more updates and future episodes. Until next time, keep learning, keep planning, and keep the con spirit alive.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.